Today we're covering UCMA 4.0 development topics with Michael Greenlee. He's the lead architect for the UC practice at Clarity Consulting, and he's also a famous author. And so at this time, I'll hand it over to Michael.
Thanks, Kai. Can everyone hear me? Just making sure. And you should be able to see the title slide of my presentation with the blue background. If you can't see it, then let us know.
Looks good over here. So,
great, thanks, Kai. So my name is Michael Greenlee. I'm the lead architect of the Unifying Communications Practice at Clarity Consulting. And today I'm going to talk about a couple of topics that have to do with development using UCMA 4.0, which is the latest version of UCMA that will be shipping with Link 2013. And I'm assuming for the purposes of this presentation that everybody here has at least a basic level of familiarity with previous versions of UCMA and that you've written at least a little bit of code using the API. Not going to spend a lot of time rehashing what the API is or what it does, but if you're not too familiar, there are some great resources out there on MSDN and a lot of sample code that ships with the API. So you can check those out. So I'm going to talk about two higher level topics today that have to do with UCMA 4.0. The first is support for the .NET 4.5 framework and some of the new asynchronous development techniques that it enables for UCMA development. The second is the elimination of UCMA workflow in UCMA 4.0 and the approaches that developers can use to create IVR or phone menu applications that would previously have been developed using the workflow SDK. And we'll have some time at the end for questions, so I won't be answering questions as I go through, but please feel free to IM your questions or save them for the end of the presentation. And just another note for those who joined a little bit late or are dialing in from the phone, this session is being recorded. So a little bit of background on UCMA. As most of you probably know, this is the middle tier API for link development. So basically, it's the API that you use for applications that need to communicate both with link server and with large numbers of link users, and that are meant to be scalable and potentially highly available. UCMA was introduced with OCS 2007. That was UCMA version 1.0, and it's been through a few versions since then. With Link 2013, it'll be on version 4.0. Now, versions 2 and 3 focused a lot on adding new functionality to the API. So in 2.0, we got the so-called collaboration layer, which adds a level of abstraction so that you don't have to deal with the details of SIP messaging and media to handle calls. In version 3.0, we got some new, more advanced features that allow us to create different types of telephony applications that were not possible before in 2.0. Now, with all of that focus on new features in those two versions of UCMA, with version 4.0, the focus has shifted more towards sort of consolidating the platform that's already there. So performance enhancements, compatibility with newer versions of the framework, and also supporting some other parts of the Link platform, such as mobility and the new UC Web API. So a lot of the development time went into those pieces. And one of the changes that I think is most important and that I'm most excited about is the support for .NET 4.5. And the reason for that is that with .NET 4 and 4.5, some new capabilities were introduced that make asynchronous coding a lot easier. Now, UCMA 3.0 only supported .NET 3.5, so those capabilities were not available for UCMA development. And now with this version, they are. So I'm going to talk about a bit about how that can work. First, a little bit of review on asynchronous coding in UCMA. Most everything you do in UCMA, you have to do asynchronously, and there are reasons for this. First of all, most UCMA operations involve messages to and from other servers or other link endpoints. So if you start a call with another user, your application needs to send a message to the front-end server. Potentially, it needs to go to other link server roles like the edge server or the mediation server, and then on to a link user on their link client. And then you have to wait for the response to come back, which can take potentially a long period of time. So you don't want to have to wait for all those things to happen and to have your main execution thread blocked this whole time. The other reason why these operations need to be asynchronous is the support for large numbers of users. UCMA applications are designed to support potentially huge volumes of calls and large numbers of users, and so it's necessary to have operations for different users happening simultaneously. So for all of these reasons, UCMA is built to be asynchronous. And unfortunately, this makes coding in UCMA a bit more complex. And it's sort of a barrier to entry for developers that want to learn UCMA and maybe haven't done asynchronous development in the past. And UCMA is a simple enough API that in many cases this is the biggest barrier for people learning the API. Now, the asynchronous development method that UCMA is built on is called the Asynchronous Programming Model, or APM. And this method is based on these pairs of begin and end methods. A begin method, like begin startup, kicks off the operation on a worker thread, and it returns an instance of iasync result, which is sort of your handle to that operation. And then there's a corresponding end method, like end startup, which you can call and pass in the iasync result to finish the operation, throw any exceptions that occurred on the worker thread, and clean up. The other key feature of the APM is callback method. So you can pass in a callback method, or an anonymous delegate, or a lambda expression when you're calling the begin method. And when the operation completes, that method will be called, and you can execute other code. Now, this gives us a standardized way of developing asynchronous applications like with UCMA, but the trouble is that it tends to make the code a bit more complex and convoluted because you often have chains of callback methods and you're hopping from one method to another, and so the code is very nonlinear. You also end up with a lot of duplication of code for things like exception handling because you need to put a try-catch block around every begin method and every end method, and with the different callbacks, it ends up in a lot of different places. Now, in .NET 4, this thing called the Task Parallel Library, or TPL, was introduced, which gives us this task class, and you can use instances of the task class to represent operations that are to be performed asynchronously. In .NET 4.5, there are some new keywords in the framework that you can use to further integrate those tasks into your code. And essentially what you can do is write code that looks synchronous, so it's linear, but it runs asynchronously. So it still works the same way that the APM does and that the code is running on a worker thread, but when you look at the code, it's one step after another and it's a lot easier to follow. So this can be a big advantage for especially simpler UCMA applications because it's easy to write the code for people who are not very familiar with asynchronous development, and it's easier to read when you have to go back and look at it. Another thing that it makes easier is exception handling. In UCMA, you need to always catch invalid operation exception for begin methods and real-time exception for end methods. In APM style development with UCMA 3.0, you end up with a lot of duplicate try-catch blocks. But with the async await method, you can wrap the entire section of code in a single try-catch block, and it will handle exceptions whether they occur on your main execution thread or on the worker thread. So there's a lot less potential for forgetting to write a try-catch and having unhandled exceptions, and there's a lot less code to write. So here's a quick comparison of the two methods. This is your sort of traditional UCMA code written using the APM. You've got the begin method and the end method. In this case, it's a lambda expression for the callback, and both the begin and end are wrapped in try-catch blocks. And this is the same operation, but written using the async await method, so it's sort of flattened it out. There's no longer a need for a callback method. And what we have is instead the startup async method, which sort of takes care of both the begin and the end, and the await keyword before it indicates that it's going to execute asynchronously. Now, the async methods like that startup async that I showed you are not built into UCMA 4.0 out of the box. So there are some steps you need to take to set this up if you're going to use async await with UCMA 4. What you basically need to do is create extension methods for each of the UCMA classes that represent the pairs of begin and end methods. And you can do that with a special static method on the task class, which I'll show you in a bit when we look at some code. And you just give it the begin operation, the end operation, any parameters that need to be passed in, and any async state you need. This is an example of one of these extension methods as you might create them. So you can see that you can define the return type as a generic parameter for the task class. You can specify some parameters for the begin method. And I'll show you how this fits into the code in a minute. So I'm going to switch over to my demo environment. That'll just take a moment. And I'm going to show you a very simple UCMA application that uses this technique. All this application does is start up and create a collaboration platform and an endpoint and send an IM and then shut down again. So if you've done much UCMA development, you can probably get a general idea of what this would look like in UCMA 3.0 and what sort of code you'd have to write. What it looks like with it's pretty application. I'm getting my platform settings, creating a collaboration platform instance, and the part where it diverges a bit is instead of calling begin startup and then having a callback method, I'm just calling platform.startup async and I'm using the await keyword. And what this does is, right after this method, execution on the main thread is going to stop. And the startup will occur on a worker thread. When the startup operation finishes, it's going to resume at the console.write line, just as though this the rest of this method was a callback. And I'll show you the code for the extension method of this, which is establish. Async, and it's this one endpoint. So I've created an extension method. I have the static extensions class where all my extension methods are located, and it's an extension method for local endpoint. The return type for the method is defined here, so it's SIP response data. I'll show you in a minute how you can get that value out again after the method finishes executing. And all I have to do really is call this task.factory.from async method, pass in the begin and end methods that I would normally be using, and the null is just for that async state parameter. And this returns a task object, and by returning a task object, I have this method to be used with the await keyword. So all I have to do is do await and then endpoint.establish async, and the framework will do the rest of the work. Now, if I wanted to get a return value, out of this. I could do something like this, and that will give me my SIP response. So I can actually define SIP response data, and that will still work. And this will only be populated once the asynchronous operation finishes on the worker thread. And you can see if I have more operations that are occurring here, and it's a lot more linear, so I can see the sequence of events within the one method without having to hop around to other callbacks. If I scroll down all the way to my canvas here, any exception that occurs in any of these operations, starting up, creating the endpoint, creating the IM conversation, it will get caught in those cache blocks there. So I don't need to write separate ones for each operation. There's another very exciting application, but it shows you how you can do this type of development with UCMA. And you can see if I run this in the IM, works in more or less exactly the same way as it would if I had written it with the API. So I'm going to switch back over to my presentation and talk a little more about the async await technique, and then we'll talk about workflow. Just a couple other notes on the task parallel library. I've shown you one of the more basic things you can do with it, but there are some other things that you can also do, such as running tasks in parallel. So you can kick off a number of IMs, for example, all at once on different threads. You can have a callback method execute when all of the tasks complete. So if all of your IMs, if you want to do something after all of your IMs go out, you can have one callback that runs at that point. That used to be a lot more complicated in UCMA 3.0 because you would generally have to create a thread safe counter and then increment it and then watch to see when it got up to the count of IM calls. And then you can also have a callback that runs when any of the tasks in a collection completes. A couple of final notes. It's important to remember that even when you're using this technique, everything is still executing asynchronously. It's just that the framework is dealing with the plumbing behind the scenes. So it's still possible to get into the same type of trouble that you can get into with ordinary asynchronous code, like you would have in UCMA 3.0. So keep that in mind as you're doing development. The other thing is, this technique is not necessarily going to be appropriate for every operation in UCMA. Particularly if you get into more complicated scenarios, you may find that the way you maintain state or the control flow requires that you write more traditional APM-style asynchronous code, or that you delve more into using the task classes. One example of this is you can't use await inside a lock. So if you need to lock to protect your state, control access to resources, things like that, you won't be able to use that await keyword. So that hopefully gives you an overview of some of the possibilities here. If you have questions, we can discuss them at the end of the presentation. But the next thing I want to talk about is UCMA workflow. So UCMA workflow, as a quick review, for anyone who hasn't dealt with it very much, is an SDK that allows you to easily create IVR or phone menu style applications with a Visual Designer. It's based on the Windows Workflow Foundation, and there's a Visual Designer that you can drag these activities onto that represent different things that can happen during the call, like playing a message to the caller or waiting for input. And it's great especially for developers that are less familiar with writing asynchronous code or less familiar with Link, because they can easily get Link applications up and running. It's also great just for rapidly prototyping call flows and things like that without having to write all of that underlying code. Now, there are also some disadvantages of this SDK. There's a different media handling approach that it uses, different from the one in UCMA Core for things like the media helper classes, player class, speech synthesis connector, etc. And because Workflow SDK uses that different media handling method, there are some issues with performance and scalability that are not present in UCMA Core. The other potential issue is there are some limits to what you can do with the set of activities that are provided. So if you want to do something outside of that set of standard activities, like if you want to record an arbitrary message that's said by the caller, you have to write your own UCMA core code to do that, and then you have to write some extra code to integrate it with the Workflow SDK. So the long and short of it is that UCMA Workflow SDK is not shipping with UCMA 4.0. So that leaves developers with a number of alternatives. First of all, if you have existing Workflow SDK applications, don't worry, because you can support them in a Link 2013 environment using coexistence. You would just add a Link 2010 front-end server to your environment and have the applications register against that server. And then even the users that are homed on Link 2013 will still be able to call and interact with your workflow applications. You just won't be able to run them with UCMA 4.0. Now, if you're creating new applications, the recommendation is that you use UCMA Core going forward. And there are two ways you can go about that. You can either use the Media Helper classes, so that would be Player, Recorder, Tone Controller, Speech Synthesis, and Speech Recognition Connector. Or you can use the Voice XML support in UCMA Core. And I'm going to talk about the first of those methods and just go through some of the basic steps that you would take to develop this type of phone menu application without UCMA workflow. So, first of all, now of course before you do any of this, you would have to start up your collaboration platform and your endpoint like with any UCMA core application. Once you get to that point, for each incoming call, you'll need to answer the call, accept the call using the begin accept method. Next, you would probably want to have a dedicated object that handles each incoming call and maintains state on it and handles the control flow. So you can create a controller class, or you can create separate activity objects for each of the stages in the call, like answering it, playing statements, soliciting input, or transferring it. And then you can use those Media Helper classes to play messages to the caller or to retrieve input from them. So you can use Speech Synthesis Connector or Speech Recognition Connector for text-to-speech. Or you can use Player and Recorder and Tone Controller to use recorded audio messages and phone keypad tones. So I'm going to switch back over again to my demo environment and show you a very, very simplistic example of this type of application. So this is definitely not something you would use in production. It only is capable of handling one call at a time right now, but it shows you the basic idea for how you would use the services in UCMA to create a phone. So the first step, once you have your application started up, is to register for incoming calls. That's the method on application endpoint, register for incoming call. You specify the type of call, and you also provide a callback method that will be invoked when a call comes in. And in this, I'm just creating an instance of my handler class and pass all over there. And once in the handler class, I'm accepting the call. You can see I'm using the async and await technique that I was describing earlier, which makes the code a little easier to read. And then I'm creating a speech synthesis connector to allow me to play text-to-speech messages to that call. And I also need a speech synthesizer to actually generate the text-to-speech, and the connector will pass it over to the audio stream for that call. At that plumbing setup, I'm passing control over next activity. And in here, I'm hooking up event handlers to deal with the different events that occur during the control flow. So when speech is completed, I have an event that figures out what to do next. And I also have an event for when a phone keypad tone is received by the tone controller. And that's how the callers can give input. So in that event handler, I figure out which branch to take based on the input. So once I've hooked up those event handlers, I can play some speech message. And in my initial menu, I just say thank you for calling and give two options for the caller. And then wait for them to give input. And based on the tone that they push, one or two, I can either go over to a different activity or just repeat the menu that I already played. And second activity, I'm doing the same thing, following the same. I have a that I play, and in this case, all I'm doing. So it's a very simple application, but this is the general concept you can follow when you're creating phone menu applications with UCMA Core rather than UCMA Workflow. So that concludes my presentation, and we have about half an hour now for questions. And we'll go through and answer questions that were IM'd.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. So I've been collecting the questions that have been IM'd so far in a Word doc, so let me share that out really quickly here. One moment. We're also hoping to have Stefan come in if he has a free moment to answer some more questions around the Link platform. But that's still up in the air right now, so I'll keep you up to date when we find out. Okay, so I've switched over to the Word document with the questions. So a few of these we're not going to be able to cover right now. I suspect Michael and I don't have the expertise, but so let's just go through these and see which ones we can cover. And feel free to continue to IM your questions, and we'll try to answer those as best as we can. So we're not going to be able to cover provisioning at this point unless Stefan joins us. So let's skip over a few of these right now.
And let me explain. This is Albert speaking. The reason why we don't want to cover them before Stefan comes in is because in the last week people have started to find issues. So he will have to update us on what is the latest on those findings. So that's the reason why. So it should be possible to actually deploy applications, but it is, in principle, a UCMA 4.0 application cannot be deployed against the Link 2010 server. It's the other way around that we actually guarantee the compatibility. So if you have a UCMA 3.0 or a UCMA 2.0 application, those applications still work against Link 2013, but it's not that you are able to write a UCMA 4 application against Link 2010. So the problems that we are finding now from the feedback from our partners and customers is that people are trying to deploy a UCMA 3.0 application against Link 2013, and there are some missing PowerShell instructions or commandlets to actually make that happen. Now, Michael, in his slides, he already outlined how you could actually work around that by setting up an extra front-end server that you actually use to in a mixed topology then of Link 2013 with one server for Link 2010, where you effectively host the one application on the Link server 2010, and you host all your users on the Link server 2013 pool. But that's not how it is supposed to be. It's supposed to be that you should be able to deploy a UCMA 3.0 application against a Link server 2013. So we will come back to that in a moment when Stefan hopefully can make to join us.
Awesome. Thank you, Albert. So there's a question about load balancing. So some of these questions have been answered in a previous presentation around the architecture for Link 2013. And that presentation has actually been posted on Channel 9. So you can go and take a look at that. And hopefully that will cover these questions around load balancing. I'm pretty sure load balancing has changed a little bit with the changes to the server roles. So take a look at that presentation. And if it still doesn't answer your question, feel free to follow up in the forums, and we'll track down the answers for you. Oh, so this was, okay, so we got an IM that is left over from before. So we'll have to track this question down for you, and I'll follow up on the forums. Any new additions around video or application sharing? So there are no new additions planned right now around video or application sharing. So most of the work that was done in UCMA 4.0 was performance improvements and bug fixes.
And to enable the UC Web API, which is an API that's built on the UC Managed API. So a lot of the changes are actually changes under the hood that you will not see actually expressed in the API itself.
Right. So they've been working hard on wiring up the UCWA features. So that's one of the reasons why things have stayed pretty static with UCMA. So the question about if we can use the API 4.0 with Link Server 2010, Albert just answered that.
It's not possible.
Not possible. So let's proceed on to some questions that I think Michael can hopefully help out with. So is it possible to use the Reactive Extensions Library in UCMA 4.0? Are you familiar with that, Michael?
Yeah, in principle, it should be possible. I haven't tried it myself, but it should be possible to use it, yes.
Theoretically, all right.
Yeah.
So maybe someone can try that out and report back your findings. So couldn't the UCMA tasks be bundled with the SDK? Surely everyone is going to have to create nearly identically collections of tasks.
So my thoughts on this.
Go ahead, Michael.
I agree that there's some code that probably a lot of people will end up writing. I think that there is, you know, some potential for people to write that plumbing code differently. So it's not necessarily something that everybody will write in exactly the same way. And like I said, it won't apply in the same way to every UCMA application. But I could definitely see somebody putting together something on CodePlex or whatever that has all of those extension methods for most of the UCMA classes. And if I get a chance to write it out, maybe I'll put it out there.
Nice. Or it could be another book topic. So, next question. Presently, the Link Client API doesn't allow starting session recording from the client side. Is there a way to initiate recording programmatically using UCMA?
No. Unfortunately, there's no new recording control in UCMA 4.0.
It is actually something that we are actively looking at for future release. I cannot promise anything, but this is a request that comes up quite frequently, and it's something that we will need to address.
All right. Next question. So concurrent collections are incredibly useful here. I guess it's more a comment.
This is not a question.
About concurrent collections. Look at the systems collections concurrent namespace. So thanks for the handy tip. Do you have anything to say about that?
No, not really, but I agree. There are a lot of other things that the compatibility with .NET 4.5 opens up that I didn't really have time to discuss. So I'll sort of leave it to all of you to think of some of the other possibilities. But there are definitely more options that it opens up beyond just using the async and await keywords in the task parallel library in the specific way that I showed.
Okay. Great. So there was a question about if there will be a session covering modalities enabled by UCMA 4.0. I don't have anything specific about that. Nothing has really changed.
But Michael, maybe you can do some basic explanation about what are the modalities that are supported and how we do support them, and what are the issues that you, for example, run into when you try to do video.
Right. So to answer the second point of the question here, there's not a new video API in UCMA 4.0. The modality support is basically the same. Voice and instant messaging are fully supported. There's a very minimal amount of support you have for application sharing, but you really can't initiate or control peer-to-peer calls in application sharing. And the same goes for video. And part of the reason for that is just there are issues with how you control the media. Obviously, a UCMA application doesn't have a screen to share, and it doesn't have a video image to share. And even reading the media that's coming in from the client end is much more complex than it is for something like audio. So that's part of the reason why those modalities are not currently supported in UCMA.
Okay. So additional questions? So they're asking about questions about what actual bug fixes we took, and we don't really have that information. I imagine there will be release notes when we go RTM, and there may be some information there, but I don't think typically we publish that information.
Yeah, and what needs to be, what people need to be aware of is that if you have issues, and that's especially Kai, he reads all the blog posts on the forums, and therefore we will have to also answer those questions on the forums, and that's where you can see if there are bugs. Go to the forums, report them on the forums, or report them in the developer tab if you're part of the developer tab, and we will be able to address those.
Okay, so Stefan has kindly joined us at this point, so I'm just going to pause with the questions now, and since he's donating some of his time for this presentation, let's go through some of these more platform-related questions that hopefully you can answer. So there are a lot of questions around provisioning UCMA 4. So we've got questions about not just provisioning on Link 2013, but also, you know, the 3.0, UCMA 3.0 provisioning, and also questions around load balancing. So maybe you can talk about that.
Sure. So let me start with maybe coexistence and migration. So with the beta 2 bits, we were not able to basically get to a place where we had a good story for not only supporting existing UCMA 2.0 or UCMA 3.0 applications against Link Server 2013, and we primarily focused essentially on supporting UCMA 4 against Link Server 2013. So having said that, in this RTM milestone, we are spending the time to validate that you can not only deploy a UCMA 3.0 app directly against Link Server 2013. For those of you who've tried, the reason you run into issue is that you will actually need a QFE. So we are going to release a patch in CU7 to make the move application endpoint and other commandlets traditionally used to basically build trusted services with UCMA forward compatible with Link Server 2013. So that will address those of you who try to port their existing application on UCMA 3.0 directly against Link Server 2013.
One of the things that Michael suggested was that till that time, you can keep one 2010 server in your 2013 pool, and you provision your app there. Is that an option?
That does work, yes. Now, yeah, it depends on what you are trying to achieve. But yes, you can certainly, as Michael and Albert suggest, you can certainly keep a Link Server 2010 server around for the time being with Beta 2 and continue to test your application directly against Link Server 2010 and then interact with users on 2013. That definitely should work. It's probably not, I think, what most folks want to validate. So my expectation is that for those of you who have application on UCMA 2.0, again, we have a pretty strong incentive for you to migrate and recompile your application to UCMA 4.0 so that, you know, from a management perspective, things become simpler. So that's the high-level recommendation from the product group. Obviously, we continue to have UCMA 2.0 app working against Wave 15. Yet, as you know, the R2 applications are provisioned through applicationprovisioner.exe, which requires some WMI interfaces which are getting deprecated. So really, I strongly urge everyone to move to UCMA 4.
Can you pop up the dock a bit?
So there was a question about load balancing, so...
Yes. So let me show you the document here. Okay.
Can an application be provisioned against Link 2010? So, I cannot make any statements right now, but just so you know, we are testing this scenario, and we would like to make that happen, but it's not yet clear whether we can make it happen. It depends on what we find during validation.
But our official policy is that, let's say, UCMA 2.0 and UCMA 3.0 applications should be able to run as a guarantee against Link Server 2013.
Yes.
But there is no policy whatsoever of UCMA applications being able to run against all the versions of the server. So everything that Stefan said just a second ago is a best effort and will be explicitly documented if we are able to make it work.
That's correct. I don't have the sensor yet.
Great. So we have another question about the split hybrid options in the architecture. It's possible to run a UCMA application in one data center and Link in another.
Or Link actually in online.
Yeah, so the only supported topology we will have involving split domain is an environment where you run your UCMA application or service against a Link server deployed on-premise and connected potentially to users who are both on-premise and potentially through a split domain homed online. So there is no support for UCMA directly communicating against Office 365 at this point. We understand that this is something that as product team we need to invest in, but there are a few challenges there on the security model across deployments that we haven't been able to get to for this release. So the fair answer is for now, we will support, obviously, interop with split domain users, but you won't be able to have your UCMA app connected directly against Office 365.
And does the load balancing behavior change?
So the load balancing behavior of Link, no, I don't think it's changing. I mean, so it's not changing. It's still DNS-based. We have made an investment in CMS load balancing, which is a more reliable way to load balance compared to DNS load balancing in that we actually read in the CMS load balancing. You actually read IP configuration directly from the topology doc, and therefore you don't need to do a DNS resolve to basically know where to load balance the request to. The thing is that that's probably something that will come as a cumulative update. I don't think it'll come at RTM, but that's something that is in the works as an enhancement for existing DNS load balancing. So at RTM, expect the same behaviors. The only difference is that we've introduced IPv6 support. So now with IPv6, you can control whether you want to be to load balance across both IPv4 and IPv6 addresses, or just IPv6 only, or just IPv4 only through configuration.
Interesting. So there were several questions around any new features around video or audio.
So there's been a little bit of investment around video controls and conferencing, but I know the elephant in the room is obviously to support video streaming and natively in UCMA. That's something that stacks high on our list of things to do, but in Wave 15, the platform team has primarily been working on enabling the web and mobile API, which was reported as the most important gap in our offering, and we really needed to embrace the new world of RESTful or REST-like APIs for mobile and JavaScript. So as a result, our investments on UCMA4o has been limited. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean that we will not invest in video streaming in the future, but it won't come at RTM for sure.
Okay. So let's see. So those were the existing questions.
Yeah, there's a question as well in that respect to when are the future releases. We have not spoken about that.
That's a great question. We can share that there will be the cadence and frequency at which we will be shipping platform updates, especially online, will increase dramatically in terms of, so instead of 2-year cycles, we will have sprints of 3 months, quarterly sprints. So that's for online. On-premise, my understanding is we are likely to have yearly software updates. And so platform features will come first online and be made available on a yearly basis on-premise. So that's the general flow. Obviously, there could be some specific platform updates even on-premise during one or two of those quarterly updates, essentially to support our mobility efforts. So that's the mobility releases are pretty dynamic as well and may bring some goodness in terms of platform features.
Okay. So there was just some feedback here around load balancing. So we have an example. If you have two instances, A and B, calls will always go to instance A or instance B if both are up, instead of AB. Is that a known issue or a...
If you have two... Oh, that's... Sorry, to elaborate, DSL before UCMA doesn't work. If you have two instances, A and B calls... All right, no, I'm not aware of that issue, but Chris, if you don't mind... Could you shoot me an email with the information you have to make sure that whatever you found out with Beta 2 is something that we can look into? I'm not aware of that particular issue, but definitely this, in the way you put it, seems to be a bug to me, so we have to fix it.
Okay. So any other questions for Stepan at this point? Looks like Chris is typing another message. So,
yeah, around the load balancing, nothing has changed in the logic on our side. So if it worked that way in the in the 2010 release. It will actually also work that way in the 2013 release.
Yeah, still I'm not okay. Yeah, based on the description, that seems to be an anomaly.
Okay.
Okay, let's take it offline, Chris.
Great. All right. So,
Stefan has a question.
Okay. Here's a question from.
Will the samples be rewritten? Well, it is an effort that is actually ongoing at this point in time. So they are not part of the beta 2. We hope that they will be part of the RTM release. And if they are not able to be shipped in the RTM time frame, we will ship them shortly thereafter as samples that we publish on MSDN. So yes, there is an effort going on, effort underway to actually port the samples to eliminate the workflow portion of the code.
So yes, they've been workflow has been removed, and we just want to make sure that the code is as stable as it used to be, and we're running stress and perf right now. Our goal is to ensure that we can run with 300 concurrent calls per box for 8 days. So until we meet this shipping criterion, we won't release the sample, because we don't want you guys to have to do the, you know, like the, you know, finding the issues there. So hopefully the baking time for RTM will be sufficient to release the sample.
The question with regards to which of the technical articles will be updated, we would love to get your feedback. What are the technical articles that you believe that are valuable to actually update them? Then we will have our technical writers actually take a look at those and make sure that they are updated. So any feedback that you can provide us there, either through the forums or through here, or directly to Kai, would be welcome.
And on the async portion, I should also stress that what I showed there is not a part of UCMA or an official method of developing UCMA apps. So it's not necessarily going to be incorporated into technical articles or into the official samples. It's really just one way that you can take advantage of the support for .NET 4.5.
Yeah, that's correct.
And as far as giving feedback, I just want to clarify, if you're in the TAP program, please give your feedback through the Connect website.
And otherwise, use the forums. And like I said, every week we make sure that all the forum questions are at least distributed inside our organization so that all the people can take note of them. All right. That seems to conclude.
Yes. Indeed. Thank you, Stefan. For those of you new to Link, this is Stefan Tain. He's the Senior Lead Program Manager here with UCMA. So thanks for giving us your time. All right. So there are a few questions that were left over from Michael's presentation. I want to make sure we spend just one more minute finishing up on that. And then we get kicked out of this room. So let's come back here.
There were quite a few questions around the speech API, and indeed Kai and I, we are looking into how we can actually organize a similar session around just the speech part of the API in the UCMA. So as you know, the speech server, that's to say the server speech API that we ship in UCMA is an independent component as well, and it's actually dealt with by the speech team in our group, so we will ask someone from the speech team to actually come out and present about that.
Okay, so I think the only question we didn't cover was, will UCMA 4.0 support other audio format than WMA? And that's a frequently asked question, and it's on the list, but we just haven't gotten to that at this point. And I don't have an idea when or if that would actually be addressed.
I see another question there about UCMA endpoints registering against a Link Online server. And just to quickly address that one, you can't currently register a UCMA application against a Link Online front-end server. There are two sort of workarounds you can use. One is if you have an on-premise environment somewhere else, you can have get federated with the Link Online environment, and then users from the Link Online environment interact with the UCMA application that you have on-premise. And there's also the new hybrid deployment model, which I think Stefan alluded to a bit when we were answering the other questions. So you can also use that. So again, the idea there is you have part of your environment on-premise, including the UCMA application, but some of the users are based online. So that's how you can work around that limitation.
Yeah, and one final remark to that, there are some smart cookies out there that sometimes use then a UCMA user endpoint and they try to sign in to Link Online. You have to understand that the user endpoint actually currently only works against a user that is hosted on AD, not one that is hosted using Orca ID inside the Link Online environment. So therefore, if you have a user endpoint, it will not work against Link Online either, because simply the UCMA application, the inner workings of it only support AD authentication and not Orca ID identification.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. So at this point, we're done. Thank you, everyone, for your questions, and I hope you found this useful. Please do share your feedback on these presentations on the forums, and if you're in the TAP program via Connect. And we'll see you again soon at the UCWA presentation. And right currently, that will be wrapping up our series on Link 2013, but we will be hoping to get something scheduled for speech. And if you have any other suggestions for presentations, please do let us know. All right. Thanks a lot, Michael. And we'll see you, everybody, again next time.